their satisfaction is speaking with one another and conversing about Krishna. Now the next verse. The next verse answers the question. Oh, it tricked me again. Wow, it really tricked me this time. How does Krishna reciprocate with his devotees? Because they're serving him. They're serving him. They're talking about him. They're thinking about him. How does he reciprocate with them after they're giving everything to him? Could you please read that? Our two readers, official readers. We're missing an official reader, yes? Okay. But very loudly.
Bhagavad Gita 10.10. Krishna awards his servants the intelligence by which they come to him.
So this is what Krishna does. He gives them what they want. Yayatamam prapadyante. And what they want is to come to him, to come closer to him, to become more intimately united with him in service and devotion and love. So he gives them that. This is half of the reciprocation that's going to be discussed, and it is what is discussed in this verse. It is really tricky, isn't it? Well, yes. So I'll read the verse. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buri ogam tam yenamam upayanti te.
Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buri ogam tam yenamam upayanti te.
Because one can ask the question, okay, your devotees talk about you. And they discuss you, and their thoughts are always dwelling in you. But what, in fact, is the cause of their realizing you? And Krishna, in this verse, answers that question, that he himself causes them realizing him and developing love for him. How does one advance? One talks about Krishna, one hears about Krishna, one discusses Krishna. But that isn't exactly the cause of advancement. The cause of advancement is Krishna's mercy. So therefore he says, to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, pritipurvakam, bhajatam pritipurvakam, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. The dami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti. This is quite wonderful. It is Krishna himself who carries the devotees towards him. Now there are some wonderful commentaries by the acharyas in this. They're not long, but first we'll read. We'll read the first of them, Srila Prabhupada's. In this verse, the word buddhi yogam is very significant. Oh, excuse me. We'll read. This is from the third. We'll read from the third paragraph. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master, and may be attached to a spiritual organization, but still, if he is not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instruction so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. And this is what makes the bhakti path the preferred path, the only practical path, is that you are not doing it. Your advancement doesn't depend on you or your abilities. It depends on mercy. And Krishna is there to help. But again, as we spoke of yesterday, or perhaps 2 days ago, that we have to do our part. But yet, our part will always prove insufficient. And the descending part, Krishna's part, is really what Krishna consciousness is made out of. We are dependent upon mercy. Why? Because no matter what we do, we cannot change the fact that we are tiny and insignificant. And look how great Krishna is. We've heard how great he is. Everything in existence, just consider what that means. Everything in existence is resting upon him. Everything in existence. Think of existence. It's huge. It's detailed. It's variegated. And it's all, it's good, it's bad, it's horrible, it's wonderful, it's exquisitely beautiful, it's disastrously terrible. It's all resting on Krishna. Everything in existence, the big, the small, the tiniest, the greatest, it's all resting on Krishna. And here we are, tiny and insignificant. What can we actually do to realize him? We can do our part, and that's all we can do. And our part is mentioned in the last verse. Think about Krishna. Talk about Krishna. Serve Krishna. And that in and of itself will bring so much happiness to the soul. Because the soul, as the example explained, is like a fish. And it needs the water that sustains his existence. And that water is the spiritual energy. And that spiritual energy is provided by spiritual things. That's what will satisfy us. It is the spiritual things that will satisfy us. We can put unlimited material things around us, like the fish. Or another example Prabhupada gave was zeros. We could have thousands and millions and quadrillions of zeros worth of money, and we still end up with nothing. It's all zeros. So Krishna, we cannot be happy when surrounded. We have nothing. Again, we cannot be happy because we are souls. We are eternal. We have the spiritual energy. We are tatasti shakti. We need the shelter of the spiritual energy. And we must try to absorb ourselves in that spiritual energy by the processes mentioned in the previous verse. The chanting, the hearing, the discussing. Bodhyantas paraspara, katyantas, chaman nityam, continuously. That's putting ourselves in the spiritual energy. But as much as we try to put ourselves in the spiritual energy, that material energy will always tend to drag us back. But we have to struggle. That's our sincerity. No, I don't want this. I may have the desire, I may have the tendency, but I don't want it. We have to get some conviction on this point. Because Maya will always say, well, what do you really want? Oh, I want to be a devotee. Well, what do you really want? How about one of these? You always wanted one of these. Do you want it now? Well, I'll give it to you. So we have to become so deeply, deeply sheltered and fixed with knowledge, with realization, that if all the zeros in existence were piled up, all the material energy, it would still not bring the slightest amount, a milligram of satisfaction to me, the soul. Rather, the more one has of something, the more frustrated one becomes, in fact. Any material thing. So you like your ice cream, you like your curd, you like your veggie burgers or whatever. Well, you like it, it gives you some pleasure, well, take more. And then take more, and take more, and take more, and you'll only get sick of it before you get sick. Like the old Australian pizza eating contests. I've watched in my life, I've seen one of those. And it's quite grotesque. amongst the, even amongst the, they'll eat, how many have you eaten? And you can see that there's just simply no pleasure. You have a one Rolls Royce. Well, 10 or 100 or 1,000. How many will it take before you feel the satisfaction you long for? Whatever it is, you know, we're using these two simple and obvious examples. But whatever it is, whatever material desires we keep within our heart, unlimited amounts of those things that we're longing for will just make us sick, not bring us the pleasure that we're longing for. So we really do need to become convinced of this fact. How to become convinced? Well, I mentioned three ways. We could hear Shastra, become convinced in that way. Or we could read the newspapers and become convinced by the experiences of others. Or we can try our best if we want. But misery itself will not bring devotional service. One needs them, as Prabhupada explained in the previous verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, that we need the association of devotees. So Krishna reciprocates, and this is just exactly what we're looking for. We're looking for Krishna's touch in our life. That personal touch, that personal relationship with Krishna. And this is how he reciprocates. The Dami Buddhi, he gives us the ability, the intelligence, the knowledge, the know-how to come closer to him. This is his gift. This is mercy. Because without that, we cannot come closer to him. Without him calling us closer, we cannot do it. So we're ultimately, in every way, we are dependent upon Krishna. Materially, that's what we heard about in yesterday's verse, Savasya Tam Radeshana Visto. We're dependent on him for our material life. But we're completely dependent on him for our spiritual life as well. Because again, for the same reason, we are tiny and insignificant. We are dependent on mercy. So all that is required, what Prabhupada is explaining here, that to get that mercy of Krishna, all that is required is, even intelligence. It's not to become a great scholar, a Shastric pundit, or to become big in this way or big in that way. It just takes one thing, and that one thing is the sincere endeavor. But it has to be sincere. The sincere attempt to be a servant of Krishna and to talk about Krishna, to serve him, to think about him, to discuss him, to understand. And then Krishna will make up for whatever we lack, because to be a person in this material world means to be faulty. No one has everything. No one. Only Krishna has everything. So to be a person in this world means to be faulty. It means to have our own opinions. But whatever we are, whatever we have, we should use that fully in Krishna's service. We should use that in Krishna's service. Because why? Because we should understand that if for no other reason, we should understand that there's no other way we're going to be happy. It could be pure selfishness. But I mean pure selfishness, not foolish selfishness. Because it's natural. We naturally want to be happy. And we have to get to the point of seeing who we are naturally. And It is Jiva Sarupoi, Krishna Nitya Das. We are Krishna's servants, so serve Him fully, naturally, purely, and not want anything but His pleasure, and talk about Him. But first hear about Him, so we have something to talk about. If we don't hear about Him, we'll have nothing to talk about Krishna. And how does Krishna reciprocate? To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. He brings them closer by inspiring them from within their heart. And no other prerequisite of knowledge is required. Nothing is required other than the sincere attempt. The Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately to attain to Him. That was what Prabhupada explained. And Prabhupada says a little earlier than what we read, one should know that the goal is Krishna. Love for Krishna. Loving service to Krishna. And when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed and the ultimate goal is achieved in its time. And we may not know, sometimes we may think, oh, how can I want to do that thing that's going to bring me love for Krishna. The ultimate thing. But really, from what I've seen, is that what we end up knowing is the goal. And then we know what the next step is. And we want to know maybe every step. But Krishna doesn't give us every step. But He gives us, when we know the goal and we're sincerely trying, He tells us what we have to do now, what the next thing we have to do is. And that's all we have to worry about. Just do that sincerely. Sometimes I think, okay, I say I want to become a real devotee. What one thing should I do that will make the most difference? That will bring me a step closer? What's that next thing I should do? And I do know what that is. So this is the way we should think. Well, what should I do? What is my duty to step forward now? What step should I take now? Instead of thinking, oh, I should be doing this because someone else is doing that and it's something I can't do and therefore get frustrated. We see other people doing things that we can't do. Perhaps they're more advanced than us, or perhaps they just have different abilities, and perhaps we might even have some envy in our heart and things like that. Or we want that, and we want, oh, that person's getting so much respect because they do this and this and this and this and this, and I was only if I could. But just forget all that and just think, okay, what is my duty right now? How can I step forward one step closer to Krishna? Not exactly to Krishna, but to love for Krishna. Love for Krishna, but loving service to Krishna. How could I serve Krishna in this way? And Krishna will always give us that. So Krishna will give us that in response to our sincere attempt. This is His promise. That's His words. Please look at those words. The Sanskrit, the English. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, a short comment. It is understood that the joy of the devotee described in the previous verse, that's tasyanti cha ramanti cha, is spiritual bliss beyond the modes. But by which method do the devotees gain direct contact with you? Who gives them the method of realizing you? Very, very interesting. Who gives that method? Anticipating such a question, the Lord speaks this verse. I give Buddhi Yoga, bhakti, to those who are constantly desirous of association with me, satatam yuktanam, because we sometimes inconstantly or irregularly desire to be a devotee, a true devotee, and our desires go branch bahushaka in other directions, in many directions. So then Krishna gives us the next step. Well, you have to, if you want to be a devotee, you have a choice. You take this step. Well, I want the whole thing. Well, you can't right now because you're little. Before you can run, you have to learn how to crawl and then walk. But I want to run now. Okay, you want to run now. Very nice. The goal is assigned. Very good. But now what step should you do now? You'll crawl. I don't want to crawl. I want to run. What will happen? What happens when the baby wants to run? But his legs are only strong enough to crawl. He falls on his nose. Yeah, so that's what we see very much. But he's running already. All right, he's running. One day you'll also run. You'll fly. But now you have to crawl. I don't want to crawl. And if you make me crawl... You know who that looks like? You recognize that face? If you don't give me what I want, I won't do anything. And Krishna, I'm going to make your life so miserable. No, it just doesn't work like that. No tantrums allowed. It just doesn't get us to the spiritual world. No, because Krishna isn't touched by that. He's not, because he's detached, first of all. He just goes, all right, go ahead, see who becomes miserable. Will it be me or you? So this is very important. I give Buddhi Yoga Bhakti to those who are constantly desirous of association with me, Satatam Yuktinam. That means that the Lord alone causes Buddhi Yoga Bhakti Yoga. I alone appear within the functions of their mind. Bhakti comes to the mind when Krishna puts it there. We are dependent on Him in every way. Because he said earlier in this chapter that everything comes from me, and this bhakti is his internal energy. Not only does the material energy come from him, the internal energy in Bhakti Devi comes from him. So this is the meditation of a devotee. Well, how can I attract bhakti? We can't get bhakti, but we can plow the field of our heart in such a way that Krishna is, that bhakti will grow very nicely and Krishna will be inclined to place it there. And that's our sincerity. Our attempt, sincere attempt to please Krishna. This Buddhi Yoga cannot be obtained at all from any other source and it does not appear on its own. The statement means that the realization of me, Krishna says, is given only by me and is received only by the devotee. So our business is to be the devoted. Devotee means one who is devoted.